Welcome to McFarland. My name is Wendy Neal, and I am the Senior Associate Pastor here, and we are so glad to be worshiping with you today. We're starting a new sermon series called Together That the World May Know, and how our life together really does make a difference in this world. We have a study guide and videos that go along with this series, and you can find all of this online. And we hope that you will join with us in this study during this Easter season. We are going to celebrate Holy Communion today, and so I would just invite you, if you do not already have your bread and your juice with you, to go and get those. And as we begin this time of worship, let us join together in singing our opening hymn, O Church of God United.
Would you please join with me in our call and response for our call to worship this morning? Though we may be inclined to brag, let us come together with humility. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. Though we may be tempted to use harsh words, let us come together with gentleness. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. Though we may want everything to happen quickly, let us come together with patience. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. Though the world around often encourages hate, let us come together in love. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. In humility, gentleness, patience, love, and unity, let us worship the God who has called us together.
McFarland, it's a great day to be in worship together, to connect with you. One of the ways that we worship with one voice is that we pour our gifts together in support of our singular mission to give witness to the resurrection power of God delivered in Jesus. Thank you for your robust and faithful participation in the church by your gifts. Each of us may continue to give our gifts by going to the website or through our McFarland app or by setting up automatic schedule giving or by mail, of course. Now let us turn our hearts and minds toward God and let us pray. O great God of the universe, God of all the wonders of springtime, the trees clothed in beauty and new life, the simple wonder of birds in amazing flight and pleasing song, the warming sun and the grand renewal of life, we gather as your Easter people. Together we worship you as the God of all hope, a hope renewed in us by the work of your resurrecting Spirit. We connect in worship with our mixture of sorrow and joy, confessing our sin and giving thanks for your holy love working in our lives. We connect to praise you, knowing that you alone are holy, but that you call us to a holiness like that of Jesus. Thank you for every good gift and for the grace you give so that we can meet every challenge, endure every trial, and overcome again and again. Oh God, hear our particular prayers, those emerging now out of our hearts, and assure each of us with your love and strength and peace. We believe that you are always speaking and calling us to faithful service. Equip us now for every good work as we engage your word and your spirit. We offer you ourselves and our gifts, praying that you knit us together so that like the orchestra of nature's beauty and the glory of spring, our collective gifts, service, and witness might convince the world of your glorious, liberating, and redeeming love. We are Easter people, O God of resurrection, and with one voice we lift our prayers to you. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
worship series, Together That the World May Know, we will be journeying throughout Paul's letters as we see in each book the different ways in which he encourages unity of the church. For this morning's scripture reading, we read from Romans 15, verses 5 through 13. Won't you hear these words? May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we give you thanks for your word and for your witnesses, God, throughout the centuries that have shared the faith and told the story so that we could be here today. God, we are so grateful for your love, for your salvation through Jesus. And so we pray today, God, that once again, you would move in us and through us, and that we would have our minds and our hearts and our ears open to what you have to say. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, long before I knew that there was a God who was worthy of praise and thanksgiving, I knew that there was a world filled with wonder and joy worthy of praise and thanksgiving. As a child, my backyard was where God's majesty was most on display. The lightning bugs lighting up at sundown in the summertime, and food grown right within arm's reach. And the earthworms and the roly-polies that moved in funny ways when I tried to hold them. The forsythia and the irises with their bright colors, and the blue jays and the cardinals making beautiful music. The oak and the pine trees offering shade. That was where I felt the most alive. Swinging and playing with my brother and sister and eating tomatoes and helping my mom in the garden and splashing in the rain and making mud pies. It was also where I began to get a sense of my place in this world. You know, being small compared to the towering trees, it gave me a sense of humility in such a big world, and being big compared to the tiny bugs and the flowers, it gave me a responsibility as one who can care for those fragile creatures. And all of it gave me the sense of reverence and awe as it changed with each season, just as I did. I grew up in the church, Cradle United Methodist, and my earliest memories of church are of worship. I remember entering in the sanctuary and finding our seats, which was usually close to the back on the left side as you walk down the center aisle. And I remember coloring the picture of the church on the bulletin cover with the pencil that was in the pew, and maybe playing a few games of tic-tac-toe if the sermon went really long. And I also remember communion. You know, you do not have to have a robust theology of communion to know in that moment when you are handed bread and the cup is offered that something special is happening. You know, kneeling at the altar rail, it gave me that same sense of humility that I felt under the branches of the trees in my backyard. And being given the bread and the cup, it gave me that same sense of responsibility and care for the fragile body and blood of Christ that had been placed in my hands, just like the tiny creatures and flowers under my feet. And being there in the sanctuary next to my parents and my siblings with the other worshipers, hearing the words and prayers of the pastors spoken and singing the song, "Let us break bread together," it gave me the same sense of reverence and awe as I realized that I had a place in all of it. I was supposed to be there. It took me years to make that connection between the praise and thanksgiving I was offering in my backyard and the praise and the thanksgiving I was offering in the sanctuary. And yet all of it belongs to our creative and loving and awe-inspiring God. And so do all of us. We all have a place in it all. We are supposed to be here. I suppose that's why the hymn, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee," is one of my absolute favorites. The music, of course, we know is written by Beethoven as the climax of his great Ninth Symphony. But the words that we sing to this tune today were written later by Henry Van Dyke, a poet and professor and a pastor in the Presbyterian Church. And that first verse, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day." Now, Van Dyke was inspired by the beauty of the Berkshire Mountains, where he was serving as a guest preacher at Williams College in Massachusetts. And in this hymn, he proclaims that everything in creation belongs to God, that the majesty of creation makes God worthy of joyous praise. Now, Van Dyke was criticized for painting what some believed to be a romantic and rosy-tinted, all is right with the world view. And yet he wrote these words in 1907, in the difficult years right before World War I. He had traveled the world and he had served his country. He was not blind to the struggles and realities that human beings face. He wrote these words as a witness to his belief that no matter what is going on in life, that God is sovereign. God is present. God is making things new. And so there is always reason to hope, always reason for all of creation to give thanks and praise to God. You know, through his words, when we sing this hymn, we are proclaiming that worshiping and praising God is what we, as God's children, are made to do, that it is right for us to give our thanks and praise. We are supposed to be here. We are wired to worship. And when we join together giving our thanks and praise to God, something special and wonderful and powerful happens. We are connected to and participating in something much bigger than ourselves. Today we begin our new sermon series called "Together That the World May Know." And in this Easter season, we will be looking at how our life together as God's church really does make a difference in this world. We'll be looking at those things that unite us as we live out our faith so that we can change lives that change the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, as followers of Christ, we have so much good to share with the world. And what we have in common outweighs any differences that we may have. And we believe that McFarland truly is and can be a witness to the mighty ways that God can work in and through us when we are united in our mission. Even if we don't see eye to eye on other matters. Because we know that when we join together according to God's purposes, the good news of Jesus Christ is made real. Paul believed in the power of the gospel witness to change lives. He had experienced the incredible life-saving love of God, and he wanted the world to know that same love. But he had also experienced the deep divisions among people that kept them from being able to fully proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And we hear Paul in several of his letters to different congregations emphasize the importance of unity. But in his letter to the Romans, the unity of the church in Rome was of utmost concern to Paul. So much so that Paul writes to them saying that maintaining the unity of the church above all else is itself a holy act of faith. Unity is sacred. The Roman church was made up of both Gentile followers and Jewish followers, and Paul was trying to make their lives together a little easier by helping them understand that their differences of opinions regarding disputable matters was not something to fight about. They could hold on to their beliefs and still love and respect one another and remain church family. And most importantly, not lose their Christian witness to the unsaved just because they disagreed about what food to eat and which days to keep sacred. You know, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, had a similar belief, and he put it this way. He says, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. Paul reminds those to whom he writes time and again that everything they do should be done to the Lord, to glorify God, to thank God, to honor God. Because as Christians, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Through Christ's death and resurrection, Christ was made Lord of all. And since Christ is Lord, we are his servants, and therefore we are servants of one another. And as servants, our role is not to judge one another, because we will all be judged by God, but instead our role is to come together as one body made up of diverse members, united by the same mission and purpose of sharing the gospel and making disciples of Jesus Christ. And while not letting go of our personal convictions, that we not let our differences keep us from glorifying God together. You know, one of the most important ways that we glorify God is through our worship. Worship is our primary response to all that God has done and is doing and will do in our lives. Our worship is the most common way that we gather together as a community of faith. And as Paul says in our scripture passage today, there is something amazing and special that happens when we come together to worship God. We become a part of something that is bigger than just the sum of its parts. He encourages the believers in Rome, saying, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we come together to glorify God in our worship, we come proclaiming that not only am I supposed to be here, but you are supposed to be here. We are all supposed to be here. And I may know you very well, but I may not know you at all. And what I know about you and what you know about me, it doesn't matter when it comes to worshiping together. What matters is that we're all here because we love God. God is Lord of all. God is my God, and God is your God, creator of all that is. Christ died and rose again to save me and to save you. And in this moment, we can stand side by side. We can acknowledge one another's humanity side by side and worship side by side, as people who believe that. And we may not agree on everything, but what we can agree on, what matters most, we can agree that we are all God's children, that God loves each and every one of us so much that he sent his Son to show us the way. And that because of that, there is reason to rejoice. And if we can live that truth here, there should be nothing stopping us from living that truth everywhere and with everyone. You know, imagine a world where everyone knew they were loved. Everyone knew they were part of a family. Everyone knew they had a loving parent, a loving Father in heaven. Everyone knew that they belonged. Everyone knew that their life mattered and that they were supposed to be here on this planet. Imagine if everyone felt that way. You know, what we proclaim to be true in our worship, it shapes what we proclaim to be true about the world. One pastor tells the story of a time when she showed up to lead worship, and the only other person who came was the liturgist. And so they got ready for the service, and they waited a little while for people to show. And then when no one did, they looked at each other wondering what to do. And the liturgist asked her, "Do you want to cancel?" And she thought about it, and she said, "I don't think so." And so for the next 30 minutes, they were the church. She said, "We praised God's holy name. We proclaimed God's word. We interceded on behalf of the living and the dead, and we confessed the sins of the world. And after that, we exchanged God's peace. And then we broke bread and we fed each other from God's table. And after it was all over, we returned in silence to the office area, and we both knew that there was no sense trying to talk about it. So the liturgist put on his coat and hugged me and left." And she said, "I hung up my robe and I turned to fill in the service book." She says, "Everything was obvious except number present." She said, "I knew that two was right, but it didn't seem true." She said, "I would have written infinity if I thought that I could have gotten away with it, but I finally settled on three to include the invisible one whose presence is all that really counts." You know, our worship is not really for us. We come together, whether we are three or 3,000, to tell the old story and to let God know how grateful we are for Jesus and his love. Our worship is not what we receive, but it is what we offer to God. And although worship is not for us, it can and does change us. Worship tells us who God is and who we are as God's people. And it reminds us of our place and our purpose in this world. Worship puts the rest of our life in perspective, and it helps us to see ourselves and others as part of God's amazing and creative and awe-inspiring story. It helps us to see ourselves as connected to one another, as God's beloved children. And I don't know about you, but that humbles me, and it inspires me, and it causes me to want to offer my very best here in this place and everywhere I go. Not for my sake, but for God's sake, for the sake of God's kingdom. Because I believe and I feel, whether I am here or out in God's creation, that I am made for this. I am made to worship. You are made to worship. And we are supposed to be here. We all have a place in God's family. And this is something that we have to share with our world. It is something that our world needs to know. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we give you so much thanks for naming us and claiming us that we are your beloved children. And God, we know that when we gather together by the power of your Holy Spirit, that good things happen. That more can happen when we are working together according to your purposes than we could ever do on our own. And so, God, we want to offer our very best to you, God. We want to offer our praise and thanksgiving. And so thank you, God, for being with us in our worship. God, for strengthening us and calling us and giving us this mission to go out in the world, because we know, God, that when we offer our witness to the world and we do that together, it really can change lives. And we pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen. As we come to the table of the Lord today, we are all invited as God's people. You do not need to be United Methodist. God's grace is available to people in all ages, in all places. It is also our tradition to take up a special offering for our utilities assistance ministry on every Communion Sunday. And so I pray that you will consider making a gift today. You can do that online on our website or through our app. Click that give button and designate your gift for the Utilities Assistance Ministry. You can also mail a check into the church or bring it by. And every gift that you give goes to making someone's life a little bit easier and a little bit better. And so as we come to the table, let us hear Christ's invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we often fail to love you with our whole heart and neglect to love our neighbors, those in need, and even our adversaries, as Jesus has taught us. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so together we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered and connected, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. The cup is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread is a sharing in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread, the body of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ poured out for you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today as we begin this new sermon series and talk about how our life together really does make a difference. We want you to know that there are three worship services in person on Sunday mornings, one at 8:30, one at 11:15 here in the sanctuary, and an 11:15 service down in Finn Hall, our modern worship service. Also want to let you know that we're going to be hosting a prayer vigil for our frontline workers on Sunday, April 18th. It's going to be outside around the gazebo at 6:30 in the evening. Everyone is welcome and invited to come to that prayer vigil. You can also find out all of the things that are going on at McFarland, all of the ways that you can get involved in growing in worship, discipleship, and mission. You can go online and find that information, and we pray that you will find a meaningful way to connect or reconnect with your church family. And so as we go forth today, just go knowing that you have a place in this world, in God's family, that you are supposed to be here. And so go forth to share God's great love with the world and go in peace. Amen.